You're listening to The Bullpen, live from Bobcat Teddy's Ice House on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's The Bullpen, live from Bobcat Teddy's Ice House here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George alongside RJ Saunders, Josh Beer today in for Andrew. We are live out here at Bobcat Teddy's Ice House, like I said, and we want to thank our guys over at Neutral for bringing us out here today. Real vodka, real juice. We got the watermelon out here, 4.5 ABV. It is so good, super smooth, an incredible drink. Highly encourage you guys to check it out. Only 100 calories as well. It's definitely going to be my new go-to for the seltzer category. I absolutely love it. So thank you to Neutral for bringing us out here at Bobcat Teddy's Ice House. Tomorrow, the Sunday bullpen will be live at Christian's Tailgate from 12 to 3. And next Saturday, myself and Andrew will be live from 12 to 3 at McIntyre's downtown as well. So let's get into the Astros. We saw a report, or not really a report, Dusty Baker said there was a chance that Kyle Tucker would be available today. Minor sprain of his ankle at the World Baseball Classic. And the way the Astros presented it is that Kyle Tucker could be available today, but the way it was said made it seem like Kyle Tucker will be in the lineup. Kyle Tucker is not in the lineup today. It is not a would-be, as Chandler Rome said. He said he got some clarification. Like, this isn't like Kyle Tucker re-aggravated his ankle or is just not ready to play, and it's possible he is in the lineup tomorrow. Kyle Tucker will be ready for opening day. That is not a concern. Jordan Alvarez is back in the lineup today. And I got to relook at the lineup here, but I think Jeremy Pena is leading off, which is interesting because, look, this is their last spring training game in Florida.
Yeah.
They play two more spring training games. Fun fact, you will be able to hear the Astros' final two spring training games right here on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5 on Monday night, on Tuesday night, as they play the Sugarland Space Cowboys, because we will be carrying the Space Cowboys games this season. So we will carry the Space Cowboys' first two games, Monday and Tuesday versus the Astros. And then starting Friday night when they take on, I think it's like El Paso, all those games will be on 92.5 as well. So, yes, Jeremy Payton is leading off tonight. Alvarez batting second. Bregman Abreu after that. So, not concerned about Tucker. Nice to see Alvarez back in the lineup. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling? We all picked the Astros to go back to the World Series, so I think it's a 10. But early on, do you think that in 12 weeks or so when Jose Altuve returns, do you think the Astros will be looking up at the Seattle Mariners in the standings and having to chase them the rest of the season?
I mean, Seattle's going to continue to be a problem and continue to be a concern. A thorn in the side, if you will. I think I'm still like an 8.5 or a 9. I'm feeling good. Like, sucks that Altuve's out. We talked about that earlier. It's unfortunate that Jordan's a little bit iffy to start the year. Tucker's a little bit iffy. But they're both going to be fine for opening day. I'm at an 8.5 to a 9. I'm not even close to hitting any alarm bells. No. I think they're going to be just fine. Seattle could be problematic, but I think that the Astros, when it's all said and done and Altuve makes it back to this lineup, they're going to be looking down at the Mariners in the standings.
Yeah.
I think so, too. Like, I think the Mariners are going to be close.
Yeah.
The one advantage that if you look at the Astros' season, their schedule, they only play a handful of playoff teams in, like, this projected 12-team window. You've got better teams. The White Sox should be better this year without that dinosaur Tony La Russa running things. You've got, the Rangers are obviously should be in theory improved with DeGrom and what they've added.
DeGrom could stay healthy. Yeah.
But, well, the thing is like at least early on he'll likely be healthy. So, you've got some teams that should be better. But, like, you've got the Pirates, you've got the Angels, you've got the Cubs. Like, you've got some teams that, like, even could be marginally better than last year, but they're still pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, I think the Astros will be okay. Yeah. How do you think the first 12 weeks of the season will go, RJ?
I think the first 12 weeks of the season, I think it's fine. For the Houston Astros. Again, I think even what I said at the top, I think this is going to be a great opportunity for Dusty Baker to show how much depth this Houston Astros team has, which I think for many pundits, they feel like depth is going to be a problem. That's why they look at a team like the Seattle Mariners, who they feel like, you know, has more depth than the Astros have, that you may be looking up at the Seattle Mariners. But I think that you have enough guys who have played in these spots and in these big positions from last year who I think want to prove, guys like Jeremy Pena, you know, maybe guys like Christian Javier, also Framber Valdez, three names we brought up earlier in the show, that I think they want to show that, hey, listen, we belong in these big spots. We're gonna go business as usual here, and it's not going to be a problem. And then once these guys come back and we're all healthy, now it's just a race to try to get to October. And, I mean, you know, it's going to be business as usual. So I'm not ready to hit the alarm yet think there's just so much depth on this team that we're going to see throughout the first 12 weeks.
Well, look, and this is how I view the Astros season in 2023, okay? I'm gonna just preemptively look at it like 2020 and what the end result was. The Astros did not play good baseball in 2020. You're coming off everything from the cheating scandal. Yep. The pandemic's going on. Weird season. JV goes down on day one. Alvarez hurt quickly after that. But what happened? They took the Tampa Bay Rays? Yeah. To game seven of the ALCS after being the lowest or second lowest wild card in the playoffs.
Isn't it great how all these ALCS and World Series appearances they get are confusing. Just kind of running together? Yeah. That's a great feeling.
It's awesome. And so that's where I'm at with the Astros this year, is that because of the expanded playoffs, I believe, without a doubt in my heart, that with Altuve, Brantley, McCullers, Alvarez, I hope he'll be healthy. The other guys I know for sure will be, or most likely will be, and other things can happen, that even if the Astros do not win the division this year, and the Seattle Mariners do, that when it comes time for the playoffs, there is no one I will be picking besides the Houston Astros. Because I have a very clear, this is like my Mets, Jets, Nets philosophy. I will never in my life, ever again, and I've never bet against the Astros, just to be honest, in the playoffs. I will never bet against the Warriors. I will never bet against, well, I guess Tom Brady's retired.
But pre-Tom Brady's retirement,
I will never bet against Brady. The Warriors. I will never bet against LeBron James. I will never bet against Tom Brady. And I will never bet against the Houston Astros. Because if you bet against the Houston Astros, you are likely to lose your money.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
Like, if they make the playoffs, they still will be, to me, honestly, I hope they don't win the division. I hope they go into the playoffs.
Could you imagine being the team that
because
has to?
I would love. Right now they're plus 700. Mattress Mac just tweeted out he got him at 5-1. They dropped the odds for him a little bit because it was so much money. So he's already making his big bets. I would love for the playoffs to start and the Astros to be like 11-1 favorites to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Instantly. Here, I come, Lake Charles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm on my way.
Could you imagine being the team that has to face the Astros who didn't win the division? It's like, dude, just like, oh, we get the Astros in the
especially
first round.
Especially if it's those bum-ass Yankees.
Yo, that'd be so great.
Oh, man.
I would love to go to Yankee Stadium.
Salty Yankees tears.
I hate the Yankees.
I want to bottle them and just sell them to Astros fans so we can just set Yankees tears, bottles of Yankees tears on their mantles.
Will they say we want Houston again?
Yeah. They absolutely will because they're stupid. They're all not smart.
Maybe my favorite thing about these gold jerseys and everything that are coming out, I brought this up on the Killer Bees. They thought I got duped. Have you seen the gold ball?
Yeah.
That they're selling?
Yeah.
It has the World Series trophy on it. And it says, we want Houston.
Yeah.
And I also thought there was a chance that when I said it on air, because they were like, no, there's no way they actually made that, and are selling that team store. Oh, it's real.
Is it real?
It's real, real.
Oh, that's great.
It's real, real. Like, you can go to the team store, buy a gold baseball with the trophy, and underneath it says, we want Houston.
Okay, I want that now.
Yeah.
I got to go buy that.
Great.
Those jerseys are garbage, but I definitely want that. I hate
why?
Them. I don't like the gold accents.
Would you rather that or the Space City jerseys?
Space City. I love the Space City jerseys.
I love the hat. I don't like the jersey.
Yeah. Oh, really? See, I love the hat and the jersey.
See, I like the gold jerseys. The only thing is, I do wish they would have done
it. They're cheesy.
Differently, but like, but everyone does it. The Cubs did it, the Royals did it, the Astros did it, the Dodgers did it. This is the one thing I brought up yesterday, actually, with Joel and Patrick, is that I actually wish, because they did the white ones last time, I wish they would have done the Sunday blues.
That might have been okay.
Like, do the blue jersey, make those gold.
Right.
You wear them every Sunday, like just because. Well, you already won one World Series, so like, change it up this time, guys.
Yeah.
Like, but like, I think they're fine. I think it's just because you have the orange.
That I
weird.
Don't. Yes,
it just looks weird.
It looks awkward.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's like it looks weird because the Astros have. It's like the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Royals, they're all blue.
Yeah.
Like, only blue and white. So, like, the gold, like, goes with it, like, very well. So
not with the orange.
The orange is odd, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and everybody knows, outside of being one of the most professional people that everyone knows, I'm also a fashionista.
Yeah.
So oh, what yeah, I yeah. say goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fashion sense.
Yeah, fashion's killing it. It's a Saturday afternoon. Josh is wearing sweatpants. RJ's got on flip-flops and socks.
They're not sweatpants.
I mean, I don't even know
they're
what
joggers,
we're...
joggers, dude.
Sorry, they're
wind
are they at least
joggers.
Lululemon?
No.
I don't know if you lived in the Lululemon lifestyle.
I'm not in that. No, I'm not in that tax bracket. No, I'm not in the Lululemon tax bracket.
No?
No. Oh. God, no.
I just go to Lululemon so I can see Raheel Rams and always staring at me.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only reason I go to Lululemon for that
and it's
reason.
It's like, hey,
yeah.
it's Raheel. Yeah. All right, it's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's obviously no consensus at this point who the Texans will take at number two. We will discuss who our number one option is, ideally there. But also, there's even less of a consensus of what the Texans will do at 12. So when you wake up on April 28th or 29th, whatever it is, after our live draft show that'll be on from 7 to 11 that night, early plug, who do you want the Texans to draft at 2 and 12? We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loot and Raid Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Bobcat Teddy's Ice House on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George, Josh Beard, RJ Saunders here with you guys today. Shout out to Gregory. Thank you for listening to me today, to us today. Old listener from the old stomping grounds. So I'm much appreciated you tuning us out here. We're here every single Saturday. Normally it's myself and Andrew Carlson from 12 to 2. We're doing 12 to 3 today. 12 to 3 next week. RJ is usually with BMAC and Sean Mapes on Sundays from 10 to 12. They're on tomorrow from 12 to 3, literally across the street from us at Christian's Tailgate. Josh Beard, you'll hear periodically on the station. Believe, not confirmed, because Paul needs to put his vacation time.
Yeah.
But I believe Josh will be on Good Friday.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to make sure Paul puts in his
vacation.
We'll make sure that happens.
Look, Paul, you got to take the day off, buddy. I've already told Josh he can work for you.
I'm bigger than him. Again, we come down to I'm bigger than him. There's
that's
nothing
true.
Good
back him up.
His does, little forearms, are you kidding yeah. me? They'll snap trying to push me away.
Hey, that's man. A fact. All right, so there's no consensus for the number one pick. When you look at it, you see Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah. They're saying Stroud. They're saying Young. I think for the most part, that's all I've really seen.
Mel Kiper also said Anthony Richardson could be the best quarterback in this
draft. Yeah, I think there's still a chance the Panthers take Richardson.
That's one of my favorite hot takes of like going into draft. Be like, oh, this guy could be one of the best. Yeah.
I thought he also said the same thing.
All of them could be if everything goes right.
I thought that he said the same thing when his 1.0 mock draft came out, that Will Levis could be the best pro.
Yeah.
Now
probably.
You're changing it to Richardson?
He had Will Levis ranked number one.
I like to think that he just, like, copy and paste the description. He just changes the name at the top.
I will say, like, let's open a world where all four of these quarterbacks develop the way they could. And if Anthony Richardson improves his accuracy, he will be the best quarterback in this draft class.
Agreed. Yeah, totally agree.
But, like, that's in fantasy land, right? Yeah. Like, to me, Anthony Richardson, you cannot draft him.
He's got a lot
because
of
Because he, when you look at his completion percentage, and I know everyone's like, well, if he just completes two more passes, then he's at 60%. Okay, that's great.
Well, yeah.
But Will Levis is at where he's at because, like, 60% of his passes are behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And it's his down-the-field stuff that's not great. Richardson, yes, he's an athletic freak. I think the real story behind Anthony Richardson is that why did he not play?
Yeah.
Like, he is like, it reminds me of Mitch Trubisky. Of, like, Mitch Trubisky couldn't win the job at North Carolina the year before he was drafted. Then he starts 13 games, and he becomes the number two pick in the draft, and he's a nightmare. I mean, he's about to get cut again, be on his third team already in the NFL. Richardson's the same way. If he was this great of a prospect, then he would have played. Now, you can make the argument as a Texans fan that Dan Mullen's an idiot. Because, hi, Damian Pierce. Like, why was this guy not carrying the rock 30, 40 times a game at Florida?
Right.
Like, clearly, like, Dan Mullen didn't know what he was doing. And maybe you can say the same thing about Anthony Richardson. To me, it's Stroud and Young.
Yep.
Yes.
And I think, to me, that's very clear. I like Stroud a lot, okay? I think Stroud's offense that he's running at Ohio State is very different than what Justin Fields was running at Ohio State. But the outside the pocket stuff is tough. So there is no consensus. So for me, my QB1 is Bryce Young. I'm not concerned because to me, there is no difference between CJ Stroud and Bryce Young.
Hmm.
Because when a middle linebacker comes running through the A-gap and annihilates your quarterback, he's going to get hurt.
Yep.
It does not matter.
And that could be anybody.
It could be anybody.
Right.
If you're playing the Steelers and T.J. Watt turns that corner and Tunsil misses a block and he eats your quarterback from behind, like, Tunsil is, like, at fault and Bryce Young's dead, C.J. Stroud's dead, and they're out for 8 weeks.
20 pounds helps a little bit, but it's not, not helping so much that it's, like, the difference between – look, I've been Bryce Young for so long now.
Yeah.
I've been Bryce Young number one for so long now. I flipped.
You're CJ Stroud.
I'm CJ Stroud. Yeah. I think it's more in the realm of 1A, 1B.
I think so, too.
I'm okay. I'm 100% fine with either
sure.
of them. But after watching, now I'm not like Gil Brandt going out there watching film being like, I know exactly what to look for. But out of watching film from Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and CJ Stroud, especially those Stroud and Young, I just love the way CJ Stroud orchestrates an offense. Like, both of them do something that I love to see from college quarterbacks. They can read a defense from the line of scrimmage and make adjustments. I do like the fact that Bryce Young was doing it more often, but I don't think Bryce Young can see the field the way C.J. Stroud sees the field.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can make some of the throws that C.J. Stroud can make.
Oh, yeah, that I agree.
Now
the Georgia game is so
Stroud. The Georgia game is the one that, like, started where I was like, oh, man, that's ridiculous. And then going and watching film, it's just two different quarterbacks. I think they're equal in completely different ways. Where Bryce Young does such a great job of extending the play, getting outside of the pocket. He works really well off script. And I love seeing what he can do. But his throws are a little wobbly. They're not as crisp as I'd like them. He's not as accurate as Stroud.
That's fair.
And Stroud, I think he works the pocket better. I don't think he needs to go outside because he does a much better job of working the pocket and getting the ball
downfield. Where I disagree, and this is to the level of competition, is that how often does Bryce Young get real pressure?
That's fair.
Because of the talent. Like, yes, the SEC does that garbage where they play like an FCS team in the middle of the season.
Right.
And I know Vanderbilt exists, right?
That's the FCS team that the SEC plays.
But in the Big Ten, you're playing, you got Northwestern, you got Wisconsin, you got Rutgers, you got Maryland. It's mostly garbage. And, like, C.J. Stroud played pretty good against Michigan in the first half. And then he did what he did against Georgia. Now, the argument would be Justin Fields threw 6 touchdowns against Clemson. And, like, I'm a believer. I know I'm, like, one of the last men standing, especially in this city. No one else agrees with me. Whatever. I'm biased. I don't care. Justin Fields is going to be the best quarterback in the NFC besides Jalen Hurts next year. But I believe in Stroud and I believe in Young. I'm good with either one. To be honest, I'm team Young because of Auburn and the Texas game. That when it mattered most and he played his worst football, Bryce Young beat Auburn and he beat Texas. He drove down the field when it mattered. He got the win. I love it. I'm all about it. Like, that's why, to me, he's number one. And it's close, though, so that's where I go.
One tiny pushback. I will say, at least this year specifically, I think the Big Ten had some – if you look at, like, the first round, like, some of the highest-rated edge rushers that are coming into this NFL draft,
yeah,
they play
Lucas
the Big
Ness,
Ten. Luka Van Ness, Adebowore, I can't, from Northwestern. Mm-hmm. There's a kid coming out of Wisconsin, too, that's really good.
Yeah.
They had some elite pass rushers, so I think that the SEC is definitely a lot stronger, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you have somebody like Nolan Smith that you have to deal with.
But it's
not quite there, but there are still some elite pass rushers.
Sure.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, you know, you hear a lot with Bryce Young. It's a very huge tag to put on him that he's going to be the Steph Curry of the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a huge stamp to put on him. I think for me, it's been C.J. Stroud up to now this point where I'm like, I wouldn't be disappointed if we drafted Bryce Young, but you can't teach height. You also can't teach size, natural size, and C.J. Stroud has that. I just would hate the fact, you know, if Bryce Young just gets lit up, and now all of a sudden he's out because, you know, his body just can't take that wear and tear. Because we haven't seen a guy at his size really be, you know, a dominant force or, you know, a better than average QB in the league. But if you were to draft Bryce Young, I think with the weapons that he has, I think him also being able to move out of the pocket, I think that this guy could honestly be one of those outliers and one of those exceptions to the rule
sure.
in the NFL. But I will say, for me, I thought that if the Houston Texans would have acquired Jimmy Garoppolo, that the number two pick was going to be Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
And that they would have sat him for maybe the first six
weeks. Oh, I agree. I think he'll be a Raider.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders are going to trade up to number three.
Yeah.
I think they're going to draft Anthony Richardson with the third pick.
Yeah.
And then the Colts are going to draft Will Levis. Good thing for the Texans. All right, so number 12. So C.J. Stroud's your quarterback, Josh, because that's who you want.
Yep.
So in this, we'll let you play fantasy land here. Bryce Young goes number one. Texans take C.J. Stroud at number two.
I mean,
it's you got to take Jackson Smith and Jigba at 12, right?
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
He's my number one, whether it's Bryce or Stroud.
He's not mine.
Yeah.
But I'll let you go first.
There are three guys. I have three guys that I'm totally fine taking at that spot. It's Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Okay.
It's Bijan Robinson.
Okay.
Or it's Quentin Johnston.
Really, Bijan?
Oh, yeah.
At 12?
Get a weapon.
I can't.
I'm totally fine with that.
I think you have way too many holes. Damian Pierce is good enough.
Bijan Robinson.
Singletary is going to be a great backup.
Bijan Robinson might be the best slot receiver in this draft.
I know, but like Bijan for 5 years or any pass rusher, offensive lineman, receiver for 10.
That's why JSN's my number one. If Jackson Smith and Jigba is there at 12,
sure,
you take him. Quentin Johnston would be my number two. I know he didn't have a great combine. I don't give a crap. I watched the tape. I've watched what he can do. That guy is
absolutely. Drops are a little high for me.
They are. It's 10% drop rate in college. It's a problem. But Stephon Diggs had problems with drops before he came into the NFL.
Right?
Devontae Adams had a problem with drops before he came into the NFL. And then his first season in the NFL, he had a problem with drops. So drops can be fixed. But you cannot, just like RJ said, you can't teach size like that. And Quentin Johnston is huge. So Jackson Smith and Jigman is my one. Quentin Johnston is my two. Bijan's my three. I don't care who they sign. I don't care who they have. Yep. Bijan's ridiculous.
All right. We will continue this discussion on the other side, who RJ has, who he wants the Texans to take at 12, who I want the Texans to take at 12, because my answer was not even named by Josh Beard, who is with us today here on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live until 3 o'clock from Bobcat Teddy's Ice House.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bullpen, live from Bobcat Teddy's Ice House on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So George, Josh Beard, and RJ Saunders here with you guys today on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5. You can find us on Twitter, at Joe George Radio, at Josh Beard Radio.
Oof.
At R Has No J.
Slurring a little bit there. You okay?
No, I'm
How
not.
Many? Is Joe George?
That's fake news. All right, so I do need another one though. The second and 12th pick. So Josh, you said your number one would
JSN,
be
JSN, yeah.
Stroud and JSN, yep. 2 and 12.
Why not?
Yep. RJ, you said your team CJ Stroud as well.
Yep.
So are you also JSN?
I'm also JSN.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to need a number one wide receiver, and why wouldn't you draft, you know, like JSN? I mean, you also hear like Jordan Addison or something like that. However, my sleeper, if he falls, I don't know if you want to have the hoopla around him.
Jalen Carter.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah, if I'm he out. Falls to 12,
I can't.
I'm out after his look. I know everybody's talking about pro days and stuff lately.
He showed up
like,
fat, out of shape.
Was,
he couldn't finish his drill.
Awful.
You know what, man? This guy's sucking gas on the during the national championship game. He's on the sideline with an oxygen mask, and everyone wants to be like, oh, he just played so hard. No, he's fat. He's out of shape. He does not work hard. Like, Jalen Carter is off my board.
Yep.
I'm going to be pissed as a Bears fan if he goes at 9. I'm going to be pissed as a Texans supporter if he goes at 12. I ain't touching that guy.
Okay, let me ask this.
He should go to the Philadelphia Eagles at 10.
I'll ask this to both of you guys. If D'Amico were to say to Nick Caserio and everybody in the draft room, I'll watch him. He'll be my responsibility. I'll make sure he's in shape. I'll make sure he's out of trouble.
I get it.
We need this guy. Like, I need this guy on my defense. Would you be okay with that if D'Amico were to say,
in a press conference,
he's my responsibility. I'm taking care of him.
I would love that mentality from D'Amico, but D'Amico can't control other people. He can only do so much. And if guys, let's say I want an offensive weapon at 12, but if I went defense, it'd be a guy like Miles Murphy or Nolan Smith. I'd probably lean towards Nolan Smith if he fell. That dude is just an athletic freak, and seeing him in D'Amico's defense would be insane. So if those guys, let's say those guys are available in Jalen Carter or a Lucas Van Ness or a Brian Bressy, I'd rather take any of those guys over Jalen Carter at 12.
Yeah, it's too much risk. Like,
yeah,
there are guys in this draft that they question. If you have motor questions going to the NFL draft, I just don't get it. Like. I think Miles Murphy's one of them. I hate saying that.
Yeah, he does.
But like Jalen Carter, I don't get it. Like to be that irresponsible with like the arrest and leaving off during the drag racing is one thing. And like you might be able to convince yourself to look past. Like Jeremy and Joel been going back and forth on this. Very different sides of it. But then to be 9 pounds heavier after your pro day, to not be able to finish your drills, like that to me shows like you don't have what it takes. To take the risk. Now, look, we all could be wrong. Like, I think the Eagles should take Jalen Carter at 10 because they're in a different position than the Texans. They just went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
They have 2 first-round picks. If Jalen Carter fails, it does not matter to them because they have the extra asset.
Right.
Like, that to me is like where, like, you have the opportunity to make that risk. The Texans do not. You have these assets from the Deshaun Watson trade. You have to take advantage. You have to hit on these draft picks. And you've already taken a risk by taking a guy like Derek Stingley Jr.,
yep.
who's got injury history, by taking a guy with Kenyon Green, who clearly wasn't developed properly at Texas A&M and can't pass block. Like, it's just, you've got to take closer to a sure thing. So for me, at 12, I am going to help my coach and give him what I want. And you're going to see Paris Johnson and Peter Skoronski, the tackles, go in front of the Texans at 12.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the guy who beat their ass every single time they played, and I'm going to take Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I like him a lot. He dominated Paris Johnson. He dominated Peter Skoronski. Like, I love Lucas Van Ness. And it's so funny because it's really similar to J.J. Watt and Nick Fairley.
Yeah.
We're like, Jalen Carter's going to be there, and if they take Lucas Van Ness, everyone's going to freak out. And you're just hoping that, like, Van Ness is there. And just a reminder, like I've said this before, if you don't know the history behind it, if someone says to you, Lucas Van Ness was not a starter, this is what you tell them. Iowa is dumb. Iowa and Kirk Ferentz play seniors over their most talented players.
Yep.
And that is why Lucas Van Ness was not a starter. He would immediately come in after and play a normal game rep after that. So I'm team Lucas Van Ness at 12. I just think you hired D'Amico Ryans for a reason. Give this dude some weapons. And I also think, honestly, when you look at the Texans roster at its whole, it's your biggest flaw besides quarterback is pass rusher.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all, actually. Doesn't like, if they drafted Lucas Van Ness, doesn't that kind of feel like that Nick Bosa guy in D'Amico Ryan's defense? And I know people were giving him a hard time because the video where Micah Parsons was making fun of him throwing bags on the ground. But we've seen Lucas Van Ness a lot. Like, he is physically dominant, not just from a lot of the edge rushers this year, either they're really, really strong or they're really, really fast. Oh. It's either one of those, and there's only two guys who hit both of those perfectly, and I feel like it's Nolan Smith and Lucas Van Ness. Nolan Smith, I think, is gone before 12.
See, he's an interesting one because when you look at the mocks, he's really still all over the place.
He is.
Like,
I think he would
be
great.
I've seen him at 12, and I've seen him a lot in the second round still.
Really?
That, like, it's like you're seeing, like, yeah, the 40 time would be like a 4.39.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, monster time. But, like, what is it going to be on draft day? I think it's still really interesting for him. And the other reason why I think, like, to you guys, like, I love Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like,
yeah.
If it's not a pass rusher, it is JSN for me. I don't believe in taking a tight end at 12. I know that is a popular theory. Like,
nah.
Dalton Schultz doesn't prevent that, but, like,
they don't need it.
There are some people that wanted the Texans to go O-line.
Yeah,
yeah, and I get it. But now at this point, now with the Tunsil contract, that's over.
Here's why I like taking JSN at 12, because I'm looking for my pass rusher at 33. And there's one guy specifically who I think will most likely be there, and I think he is as talented as any other edge rusher in this draft, and that's Andre Carter out of Army. I think Andre Carter is going to be an incredible guy.
Yeah.
I think he would be awesome in D'Amico's defense. And so, for me, if you're looking at, like, we talked earlier about draft capital, right? And we talk in fantasy and dynasty all the time about draft capital. And what's the percentage chance of a wide receiver being a top 24 guy?
Yeah.
Of being, like, a top two wide receiver, a top 24 wide receiver in the NFL. And when you see them get drafted in the first round, it's a pretty substantial difference between first round wide receivers and second round wide receivers.
Yeah.
And then once you get past the second round, the hit rate on wide receivers is wildly low.
I think my only thing with this draft is that I view the wide receivers outside of Jackson Smith and Jigba as, like, I think the guys who are drafted after that, Quentin Johnson, Jordan Addison, from what I've seen and what I know, and I'm not a know-all. I'm not Lance Erline. I'm not Mel Kiper. So it's just my opinion. But I don't think the gap between those guys and, like, Jalin Hyatt and Zay Flowers and
Jordan Addison
and Jordan Addison and Downs from North Carolina, Joshua Downs.
That's who I love.
I don't think the gap is that big. So I guess, like, I think we're all on the same page where it's like 12 and 33 is wide receiver pass rusher.
Yeah.
And to me, as long as you attack that path, I think you're good. Like, I think I like the Texan strategy. I prefer pass rusher at 12, especially if it's Lucas Van Ness or Nolan Smith is awesome as well. And it's weird. I know if I woke up on the day after the draft and it was Jalin Carter, like, I would still feel
that
tingle.
Yeah. I mean, at 12, I guess I can ask this to both of you guys again. I mean, is it take best guy available, or are you trying to focus on either side of the ball?
No, I think it's best guy available. Yeah, like, I think it's like how you evaluate your best pass rusher versus your best wide receiver.
Well, see, I have a pretty substantial difference between. I think there's a pretty decent gap between Jackson Smith and Jigba and Quentin Johnston.
Yeah,
and then there's a tiny, tiny, tiny gap because of size and injury history between QJ and Addison. And then after Addison, I think there's a pretty big gap again where I've had, like, Downs and Flowers.
Okay,
and then
Flowers
after
is my guy. Like, I think he's going to be a bust.
I think he's one of those guys that's being way overhyped. His breakout age is really high. His breakout rate was really low. Like, I think there are moments where he could be incredible. If he were bigger, I would enjoy it. But he's small. He's small stature, and I just don't think he's going to get the opportunity that a lot of people think. He reminds me of a less polished Christian Kirk.
Yep.
And he hasn't had a lot of success in the NFL. I loved Christian Kirk, but he hasn't had a ton of success.
You know, those guys are hard, man. Like, wide receiver, I think, is the hardest position to evaluate when, like, from, like, our perspective, with, like, the more untrained eye than, like, the top draft guys. Like, what they really know, because it's like, when you watch, say, Flowers, like, you see moments where you're like, hey, this guy's got it. But then his quarterback play at Boston College is so bad.
Yeah.
Where it's really, that's where it's challenging. Like, where I get people are like, what do you guys know?
He's small Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
The one thing that people, the one comparison that's most interesting is that I've heard from Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah is that he's Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I just
and
don't
that's
see
where
it.
It's like, and that's fair.
Maybe.
And it's like, so that's where it's me, like, I still think you get a wide receiver at 33 or 12 and, like, you're good to go.
For every
pass rusher is deep, though, this year, so.
For every guy that had that skill set, that had that athleticism, that, like, could have been Antonio Brown. For every Antonio Brown, there's, like, 60 more who weren't Antonio Brown or more.
Is it an interesting comparison? I heard this from Dan Orlowski when he's talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba. Do you think St. Brown is a fair comparison for Jackson Smith and Jigba?
He's a little smaller, but I think it's pretty fair. Crisp route runner, good hands.
I think
it's close. I think it's really close.
I would definitely take that with the 33rd pick.
Yeah.
If that were to be the thing. All right, so bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Our final segment is up next. Joe George, Josh Beard, RJ Saunders here with you guys today. We're going to a bunch of stuff we're going to get to. We're going to rapid fire a bunch of things. Aaron Rodgers, what's going on with the rest of the pro days? We got Rockets stuff to get into. Still some more Astros. We'll just kind of rapid fire through some of the other biggest topics that we haven't gotten to. That's next here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You are listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Bobcat Teddy's Ice House on White Oak. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Final segment of the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George, Josh Beard, RJ Saunders here with you. Thank you guys again to Bobcat Teddy's Ice House for having us out here today. And, of course, to Neutral Vodka Seltzer, a new seltzer with vodka, real fruit juice. We got watermelon out here today. It is awesome.
It's really 100 good.
100 calories, 4.5 ABV. So smooth. Great taste. Awesome. So thank you to everyone for having us out here today. Very much appreciated. Our final segment of the show, Josh, thank you for coming by today.
Thanks for having
me. It's good to do radio with you again today.
This is like the third time in 4 years since we've been able to do radio together.
I think it's a little more than that.
Is it more than that? I'm not good at counting. I'm not good at math. So
no, but they were like one-offs at night at the old
place. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So hopefully we can do this a little more regularly.
Yeah, these seltzers are great too, man. I just love being able to come hang out with you guys, talk sports, and drink. I consider myself a seltzelier. That's a seltzer sommelier. That's a term that I made up myself.
Interesting.
Nobody knows more about seltzers than me, and this is pretty high tier, yeah.
Yeah, I do know that you, if you drink too much, you make bad fancy football trades.
No, I don't make bad trades. I yell at people when they don't trade with me in the chat. That's the problem.
All right, so our final segment here, we just got about a couple minutes left to go. A couple things we have not gotten to. How are you guys feeling about the Aaron Rodgers stuff? RJ? When do you think it happens?
It's probably going to happen like during training camp. Like I
think the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to go on like right now. It's going to be and he's just going to walk in. Hey guys,
the day before the first game. That's my call,
dude. It would be crazy. I mean, I don't know, but I don't know how the leverage works.
Yeah,
like the longer this goes, I think the Jets lose leverage because they're going to get desperate because like they've clearly gone all in, like they have. You know, they've added Mecole Hardman. They just traded away Elijah Mitchell. Like, they've got all these pieces that they've added. And at some point, you got to get Rodgers in camp.
Yeah.
But at some point, also, if you're the Packers, you got to move on.
Or
just
Jordan
this cloud or your franchise. Because honestly, at this point, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I think I flip it on him.
Really?
I think I just go, if you don't trade me by the end of the week, I'm going to be your quarterback next year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
and then honestly, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, to me, is such a scumbag, loser, petty guy. I hate Aaron Rodgers.
You know what? This is the first time I won't make fun of you. Usually, whenever
sucks,
you talk
man.
Crap about Aaron Rodgers, I've been like, "Oh, Joe,
yeah, he's the
now,
worst."
I'm not going to do that now. He is the worst. This has been one of the most insufferable sagas we've seen. I almost kind of wish
he's a sucky person.
This is how much I can't stand him and what he's done. Is like the day it came out, I'm going to go to the New York Jets. I was just hoping for Tom Brady to come out of retirement again, just to completely
honestly,
overshadow the news.
And that was so weird because he was like 90% going to retire, as he said on the Pat McAfee show, before he went into the cave,
into the darkness. The darkness. God.
I'll tell you this. And this is why, this is where the leverage thing is weird. I think he's only going to play one more season.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I think Aaron Rodgers is so egotistical. The only reason why he's going to play football in 2023 is because he is not willing to go into the Hall of Fame on the same billing as Tom Brady and J.J. Watt.
Oh.
It is 110% because he is that much of an egomaniac that he will not go into the Hall of Fame on the same card as J.J. and Tom Brady.
That's such a great point. I hadn't even thought about that.
I don't get this guy. I don't get what he stands for.
Yeah.
Because to me, he stands for nothing. He acts like he doesn't care about the media. But he's such a loser, and he reads everything. Like,
will he be able to handle the New York media if he goes to the Jets?
No.
From the Jets' perspective,
he's just going to cry.
Yeah, 100%. And he's going to be awful in press conferences.
He's already told Schefter to lose his number.
That was really funny.
That was
though.
Great.
That was
the fact. You know what? I thought the best part was Schefter actually posting that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
great
just
call.
Like, yeah.
I would do the same thing. Yep. RJ, Cam Newton worked out with the Auburn with the Auburn group at his pro day. He only wants to be a starter, I think, very clearly.
Yeah.
Is there any team you would actually take Cam Newton over what they currently have?
No, and you would have probably thought what? I mean, before they made the trade, Carolina, but.
I think there's one. No one else?
Seattle?
No, because Geno is good.
Geno is good.
Because I think for the most part, you can make like, they have a veteran or a young guy, or they're going to get a young guy.
I don't know. I mean, I would have thought maybe Tampa.
That was the one.
Maybe Tampa.
Even with Baker Mayfield, it's like I would probably take Cam Newton over Baker Mayfield.
The other one I toyed around with
or
was
Trask.
The other one I toyed around with was Atlanta, but I like what Ritter did.
But
at
see,
the end of the year
I think it's
year.
Like it's. I get why they wouldn't go after Cam Newton because I don't think he wants to be a backup.
No,
and like they clearly like you're. They're going to give Desmond Ritter a shot.
Yes.
The other one I think would be interesting, and actually where I think you could see Cam Newton be a starting quarterback next year back in the NFL, is if this Lamar thing shakes out somehow, like maybe Baltimore ends up going after Cam Newton next year, and like if they don't believe in Tyler Huntley, which they shouldn't.
Maybe.
Like,
here's the tough part is a lot of teams, like, if you go after Cam Newton, he might make you just good enough to miss out on Caleb Williams.
Yep.
So, like, do you want to be just good enough to miss out on Caleb Williams, or do you want to be one of those teams who needs a quarterback, obviously, because you're desperate enough to go for Cam Newton, or would you just rather roll with the crap for a year and go get Caleb, who's going to be the consensus number one overall?
Which so. I think that's what Tampa's doing, because when I thought of teams that were probably going to be in the sweepstakes for Lamar, I was saying, well, why not Tampa? I mean, you know, you had Todd Bowles. He was on the record. He said, listen, we're not looking to rebuild. We are not a rebuilding team. It's like, then why not get Lamar? But if you're saying, well, we'll tank this year for Caleb Williams, then we have our quarterback for the next 8 to 10 years.
I think Baker's the same way.
Yeah.
And that division, I think they're going to play themselves out of Caleb Williams.
Wow. Yeah, I think so too.
Because, like, I think, like, when you just look at offense alone, like, you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Rashad White. Like, those three pieces. Now, you trade Shaq Bacon. Well, not really anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Did they cut Ryan Jensen? I thought I saw that.
They may have, yeah.
Something happened with Jensen. They trade Shaq Mason. So, like, Baker's probably going to get slaughtered this season. But, like, I just – that division's so bad. Like, I feel like they might win enough games.
The number one contender in that division for Caleb Williams is Atlanta.
Who do you think will have the first pick in the draft real quick next year?
I think it's going to be Atlanta. I don't think they have enough. I think they have some offensive weapons, but they have some defensive weapons, but they're not good. And it depends on the development of Desmond Ritter, really, but – and I like what I saw. I just don't have full faith. I think it ends up being them, or maybe Indianapolis. Maybe it's the Colts, but they're gonna take Levis this year most likely.
But that's like Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, exactly. I am of the belief. I didn't used to be this way. I am of the belief, and I've been convinced by a few people who are smarter than me, some not smarter than me, that you just take a quarterback till you find him. Like, if you have to take a quarterback first round year after year after year, depending, unless you're drafting, like, first overall or second overall, right? But if you're drafting, like, that 5, 7, 9 range, you're taking a quarterback there, and you have the chance, like, let's say.
I think it's every 2 years.
Yeah, that's fair, too. But you can't miss out on a guy like Caleb just because you drafted a guy. If they draft Levis and then they have a chance at Caleb next year, you take Caleb.
If Caleb's in this draft, the Bears don't trade the number one pick. They draft Caleb Williams. They move on to Justin Fields. All right, just shot in the dark guess. Who do you think has the number one pick in next year's NFL draft?
I honestly want to say Tennessee.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I like that.
I just think because, I mean, you're going to – I think they're starting to sell.
I think Henry's getting traded.
I think Henry's gone. So I just think it's going to be a team that says, listen, we tried it. We had our window. It's closed.
Yeah.
Let's try to get a quarterback for next year, you know, and try to build this all over again.
You know what? To be on here, even though I said what I said, if you're the Tennessee Titans and you just sell everything, right, and all you really have is Treylon Burks, and you have the number one overall pick, do you know how many teams are going to want to try to trade for that pick?
Oh, yeah.
If you can get an absolute haul for the pick that would be Caleb Williams because they're going to need Drake May, I think, is going to be a really good quarterback prospect, too.
I got some grief for this because they were like, you want the Texans to suck again? No. If the Texans draft Bryce Young, or CJ Stroud, whatever, and they have the number one pick next year, but you have a season like the Bears where, like, the quarterback has promise – and, like, you believe in Bryce Young, and you have the number one pick, and you could trade Caleb Williams.
Trade it.
Awesome.
Instantly.
Yeah. My shot in the dark. Tank season's on its way. F them picks is over. Walk across the street, Caleb Williams, right into SoFi Stadium with the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, okay.
I think they may be the worst team in the NFL next year, especially as soon as Stafford gets hurt.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us. We got to go. Josh Beard, thank you for coming. RJ, you're the best. You guys can find us on Twitter, @RHasNoJ, @JoshBeardRadio, @JoeGeorgeRadio. The bullpen will be live tomorrow, B-Mac and Sean, from 12 to 3 from Christian's Tailgate. Andrew and I will be at McIntyre's downtown next week. Talk to you on Monday with the Killer Bees. See ya.
97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.